This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
A report has found that rainbow families in Australia faced exclusion and discrimination in most of their day-to-day interactions with government. The report, Love Still Makes a Family, was launched by Rainbow Families and explores the experiences of LGBTIQ+ families when assessing federal government services. Ashley Scott is a rainbow parent and spoke to The Informer about what kind of discrimination our families experience.
There are two things that are clear from the report that we think. One is the power of language to make our families feel included or excluded. And that's across most government departments and across most people that we're dealing with on a one-to-one basis. So whether that's at the post office when we're doing passport applications for our kids, whether it's customs officers when we're leaving the country or coming back into the country, Centrelink workers, either on the phone or face-to-face when our families are applying for benefits or registering children, and at schools and daycare centres as well. The way to fix this, in our opinion, is family diversity and inclusivity training across all frontline workers in a number of government departments.
And can you just give us a sense of how widespread it was or some kind of indication as to the scale of this kind of discrimination?
Sure. So the report had 163 responses. So that's generally one parent from a family. So you're looking at 150 families there that are affected. So much that they've come forward and completed the survey that Rainbow Families put out last year. But it happens every day, and there's a lot of families that that don't talk about it or talk about it amongst themselves, but feel they're powerless to do anything about this kind of discrimination that they're facing daily, in some cases.
And when you've approached government or raised these kinds of issues, what kind of responses do you tend to get, whether it's from political leaders or from departments or other people in positions of power?
It really depends. With this report, it's only just been released, so this will form the basis of our advocacy campaigning for the next couple of years. And so we will start contacting ministers and government departments and talking to them about the recommendations in this report. This one follows up from a report that we released a couple of years ago into discrimination our families face when accessing state government services in New South Wales. And so we took that to Parliament and contacted all the ministers that had recommendations in the report, and some of them were very helpful. The Health Department in New South Wales has been fantastic, and we've had some really great changes out of the previous report that we released that have affected our families day-to-day. An example of that is the antenatal class that Rainbow Families was running as a pilot at the time that's now run by New South Wales Health. So our families can go to a specific antenatal class that is designed by queer parents and delivered by queer parents, but put on through Sydney Local Area Health District, which is a great example of the positive change that can come from reports like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I should have perhaps asked this at the top of the interview. Have you experienced this form of discrimination yourself or your family?
Yes, definitely. So we're a two-dad family, and the classic example is that we've faced is renewing our daughter's passport when she turned five. Our children were born through surrogacy, and it's not very simple to renew a child's passport when they're born through surrogacy for a number of reasons. But there's no place you can go to for help, so you have to go to your local post office, where generally speaking, they haven't been trained on how families who have created it, how people who have created their families through surrogacy have to go through the passport renewal process. And for our family, this is during the postal survey, so a couple of years ago now, so our resilience was down at the time, and I walked into the post office and knew that it would be a difficult conversation to have, and knew that I'd have to fill out a number of forms, and they weren't familiar with what I needed to fill out, and I ended up having to go back to the post office three times with different information and different forms because they weren't sure how to deal with it. Mm. We're lucky and we live in a very inclusive, queer-friendly area, but there are people have reported instances if where they've gone into their post office and, you know, been asked, where's the mother of the child, and had to explain to a post office worker that is just inquisitive, but not sensitively so, asking mm-hmm. questions about the family makeup. That's none of their business, really.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, and I know this from speaking to, you know, people who work in mental health services, in particular those that engage with the LGBTIQ plus community, that creates as well a cycle where I think we begin anticipating that an experience will be difficult or that we're likely to get negative responses, and that can kind of create a cycle where, you know, it just becomes both mentally exhausting, but also it takes, as you say, a substantial amount of time and resources just to do very, very ordinary, everyday things that people take for, that other people take for granted.
Absolutely. I know in my case with my daughter's passport, I couldn't bear going back into the post office at the time, and so left it for a few months until I had the emotional capabilities to go back in and start the process again or start the next step of the process because it was very emotionally draining having to go in and explain the situation again. And interestingly, when I went in the last time, three of the post office people came out and all came over and chatted to me and said, oh, I wondered what we'd have to do for your case. It's such an unusual situation. And they were all genuinely interested. But again, that's not what I really needed at the time.
Yeah. And it's not really something you actually want to be told. Like, even when people aren't being, it's this is actually a friend of mine who's a stand-up. Yeah, I used to do stand-up comedy as well. Used to have a bit where he riffed on, you know, the difference between homophobia and homo caution and homo curiosity amongst the heterosexual community, where people aren't hostile at all, or they're not afraid. It's not hateful. It's just not helpful. It's wow, how weird. Oh, this is interesting. It's like, no, I've got some stuff to do. I'd actually like to get this sorted out. I've got my kids here. Can we just...
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not an object of curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
one of the other examples that came up from the report quite a bit was families registering for Centrelink, and which when you have a child, you do. Everyone's entitled to the baby bonus or whatever it's called now. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of reports in that came through from lesbian couples that had used a donor who were told to go and seek child support from their donor. Yes.
Okay.
And a lot of people either don't know their donor and have used an anonymous donor and have had to then go back to Centrelink and explain how their family was created and that their family have two parents and both the mums here and still being told that they had to go and try and get some kind of child support from their donor.
Is that
which is an awful experience.
Oh, well, I mean, that also taps into obviously the, you know, and obviously every rainbow family is different, but I know from, you know, lesbian couples who are good friends of mine who have, you know, had children in that form, that's the last possible thing you want to be reminded of. You're often, you know, living in a world where you're often told you're not a family, and then you're literally being told by a government worker, no, you know, follow this process that does not apply to you and effectively implicitly undermines your family.
Absolutely, yeah. Essentially, it makes the non-biological parent feel like they're less of a parent, which is absolutely not the case.
That was Ashley Scott from Rainbow Parents.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.